This is Harry Murray. Here in the Fly Shop in Edinburgh, I'm often asked questions that you've asked me to come on this website and discuss. Frequently, you'll ask me when you're in here in one of our schools. Sometimes you send me emails. So I'm just going to go down the list and answer some of the questions that you've thrown at me here in the last 6 months. A fishing vest versus a pouch. I use both. Probably where I draw the line on which I use is if I'm going to be going someplace into the backcountry or even right far up or down a smallmouth river and I think I'm going to need a raincoat, I definitely use the vest with that. Plus, in the vest, I can easily carry my water bottle, my lunch, my big single lens reflex camera, and all that. Now, I do like a pouch if I'm not going to be very far away from the car, that kind of thing. I do like a pouch because I like the small size. But that's strictly a matter of personal preference. Now, we're talking about reading the water. Everybody keeps throwing that question at me about reading the water. To me, reading the water, whether it's on a small trout stream, a smallmouth bass river, Madison River in Montana, whatever, reading the water to me is a three-step procedure. This is the way we teach it in our trout schools and our bass school. First step in reading the water, you look out at that piece of water in front of you and say, where do I suspect that fish is going to be? I mean precisely now. Narrow it down to where you think that bass or that trout is going to be. All right, having answered that, we hope correctly, then the next thing you have to tell yourself on reading the water, if he is at that particular location, where do I need to position my fly so it'll drift to him and or swim to him in a realistic manner? So where's my fish? Where do I present my fly? Now, the most important thing, though, is where you position yourself. If it's a dry fly in a mountain trout stream, you've got to position yourself so you don't throw the line over him, throw the leader over him, so you don't spook him. I mean, that comes into selecting the where you're going to make your casting position. So where's the trout? Where do I put my fly? Where do I put myself? Now, if you're talking about smallmouth bass, we definitely use a dark brim hat and a polarized glasses and read the water, not decide to see the fish. That's great, but that's not what I'm shooting for here. Where's the bass? Where am I going to cast that Magnum streamer to swim it over in front of him? Now, I have to position myself at the right place so I can swim it in front of him in a realistic manner. I don't mean cast it out there and hit him between the eyes. You want to cast your fly far enough across that you can swim it right in front of him, just like a natural minnow. So that's what we come into in this reading the water. And some people get it, and some people don't, and some people really don't care. So you take wherever you are on that. All right, we're going to be coming up here in the next month or two with good fishing in the Blue Ridge Mountains and back in the Allegheny Mountains. I firmly believe in carrying a map of that specific area in my pocket. Now, believe it or not, as much as I've been up and down these Blue Ridge Mountains, I've been lost twice in the mountains. Even in both cases, I'd been on that stream before. Now, nobody's going to move the stream on you. But in both cases, I thought, well, my buddy is over here. I'm going to go across this ridge and I'll find him and save having to go all the way back down the mountain to come up. Well, that's when I've gotten lost. So carry the map of the specific area you're going to be fishing in these mountain streams. Carry that in your fishing vest or pouch when you go down over the mountain. I have a real good friend lives close by here. Took two friends into an area he had never been in before. Well, he had been at it, but not in the last year or so. He did not have the map in his pocket when he went down off of Skyland Drive. He walked for 3 hours and never found the stream. Now, that sounds difficult to do, but what happens here, especially in the Blue Ridge Mountain, there are many wonderful hiking trails for the Appalachian Trail Club to hike all around the top of those mountains. Well, what my friend did, well, he kept zigging and zagging and zigging and back and forth on those trails on top of the Skyland Drive. He never got down there. So I really like to carry that map in my pocket when I go down off the top of the mountain or even down at the bottom of the mountain. All right, now, somebody's asked, what's on my DVD? I've done a DVD on trout, and I've done one on bass. These are primarily how-to. The trout, I'm covering the small mountain streams, larger streams that we'd have over in West Virginia. Cover the Yellowstone River in there, took my cameraman out there, so we did all that. My DVD on the bass is a how-to. They're not showing you where to go, they're showing you how to do it. So that's what I've done in my DVDs. They're more how-to than where-to. Now, my books, the Trout Fishing in Shenandoah National Park, Virginia Blue Ribbon Streams, those are a combination of how-to and where-to. The where-to information in there is very important because many of those access points that I'm listing in those books may not be found in some other places. And yes, I'm kind of giving away some secrets. In fact, when the park asked me to write that book, my comeback to Dave Haskell's, but I don't want to give away all my secrets. And Haskell says, well, let's just put all the streams in there and let them find their own. So my books primarily, especially the Blue Ribbon and the park book, are where to as well as how to. Now, the book I've done on smallmouth bass is strictly a how-to. How to fish nymphs, how to fish streamers, how to cast, all that kind of stuff. So they're entirely different. Now, this is the time of the year some of the guys are thinking about what rods they're going to buy for what. And they throw it at me, what rod do I use for what? Well, we're talking about trout first. I still have to lean toward that Scott Murray Mountain Trout Rod. It's a 6'10" three-piece for a three, but that does not tell the whole story. What, after 11 months of testing and testing and testing, we realized we needed a three-weight rod. We knew we were shooting for a 6'10". We knew we wanted three-piece, but we needed a much more delicate tip than is normally found on that size rod. So after they put that tip on there, the Murray Mountain Trout Rod came out smelling like a rose, and that is awfully hard to beat on the small streams, yet it's got enough backbone to throw 50, 60 feet of line if you need to do it. What rod do I use in the Rockies? Definitely. My son came out with a winner there. Jeff gave me a Radian 906 to use out on the Yellowstone, the Madison, those big rivers out there. That's the rod I use now. And you say, well, is a 6 too much for a Betis hatch? We hit a pseudocleone hatch and a Betis hatch out there often in the fall. I go down to 6X Amphetia number 22 or 24 on it when we get a pseudocleone hatch. And I honestly, and I've been fishing it now 3 or 4 years, I do not ever remember breaking a fish off on a strike with that with the small flies. Plus, it's got all the muscle I need to throw a streamer all the way across the Yellowstone River if I need it. Now, on the bass rod, I turned around with my son. He gave me the Radiant 6 to use out west, so I gave him the Radiant 7, Scott Radiant 7, to use here on the bass rivers throughout Virginia, and he does a lot of bass fishing in Pennsylvania. But Jeff has probably 6 or 8 good bass rods. He does not use anything anymore except the Radiant 7 weight for bass. So those are just some of the questions you've thrown at me that I thought I'd come on here and talk about. If you have any specific questions, just call me at 540-984-4212 or send me an email on it. This is Harry Murray. I appreciate your input. Thank you.